Ironically, often an encounter with God, a relationship with God, that is faith in God, begins in fear. Pastor Alan Patterson describes fear in this way, placing ourselves in the upper room on that morning. Your best friend has just been murdered, executed in fact. You could have helped him escape, but you ran instead. You're angry and disappointed, not only in yourself, but in your friend. He said he could handle it. He said he was big enough to avoid it. He said he was God. Or at least, that's what you heard. And you are scared. People know who you are. You were inseparable for years. You witnessed his quote-unquote crimes. And you know, they know that you were his accomplice. You're thinking to yourself now, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of town? Your hopes have been dashed and a once bright future is now very dark indeed. Can you picture the scene? The doors are locked, the room is dim. There's a low murmur of voices in the background as you sit in the corner and review for the 100th time the contradictions, the injustices, and your own role in the horrible death of your best friend. You are scared. We've all sat in that room, the upper room, running back like the disciples to a place of safety. Look around that room today, as in the gospel, and what do you see? One thing on the face of every man and woman in that room, and that is fear. We tend to have this overly pious viewpoint of what it must have been like to be in that upper room that week following the resurrection. But even though Jesus has risen, our gospel today shares that they were sitting up in that room in fear. They were afraid that what happened to them, or what happened to Jesus, would happen to them. And yet, this is the beginning of faith for them. And often it can be the beginning of faith and a relationship with God for us. One of the holiest women I know, and one that I had a wonderful relationship towards the end of her life, was my grandmother, Irene. But I was scared to death of her as a kid. For a couple reasons. One, I was often sent over to mow her lawn for her because I was the oldest grandchild. And she would get me some water after I was done, let me freshen up in the restroom. And I remember one day kind of looking around her house. I was curious. And I found in a drawer a pack of gum. Now, in the Marnie household, gum was not allowed. Gum got in carpet and in your sister's hair. And then she had to get a haircut and you were in trouble for a very long time. And so when I found this gum, I thought, well, I deserve it. I should reward myself, right? And it was the worst sin I've ever committed, not because of the gravity of it, because that piece of gum was so rock hard because it had been sitting there for so long, it wasn't even enjoyable. And Grandma caught me. And Dad punished me. I had a reoccurring nightmare growing up. The only really reoccurring nightmare I've ever had. And I had it almost every night until I was about 13 or 14 years old. It was of my grandmother. I'd be asleep in my bed. We lived on Porter over by Twin Lakes. I'd be asleep in my bed and the tornado sirens would go off. A day that looked much like today. And I'd go running out into our family room to see what was going on. And my grandmother was standing by the back sliding door, looking to the west outside of our house as if something was going on. So I ran over there to see what she was looking at. And sure enough, there was a tornado coming right for our house. And what did my dear grandmother do? She took me by the back of my collar, picked me up, and literally drop-kicked me out the rear of the house. And I went flying up into the tornado. This happened almost every night. And the tornado would catch me, and then I'd wake up, just like that, every night. Now, some of you might have a lot of fun with dream analysis, but it's not hard to determine. I was scared to death of that woman. See, in my eyes, she was old and mean, and I was scared, fearful. But little did I know that that would become the beginnings of a relationship with her. Fear can be one of two things for us. It can be an opportunity for growth and an opportunity to enter into a deeper relationship, or something that just scares us off. I ran across a great acronym for fear one time. It is this: false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Why is this a good acronym? Because fear is the tool of Satan. It is the tool of the devil. God does not work through fear. God can use fear to his own advantage, but he doesn't perpetrate fear in your life to motivate you. Only maybe the fear of hell. But even that isn't his desire. His desire is love for you. You see, I thought my grandmother was a mean old witch. The disciples thought they were lost, that everything was gone, and that they were doomed for death. And many of us here today can feel that lost and that fearful of life, where we don't even sometimes want to go out of the house, just like those men sitting in the upper room. And often it's because we feel abandoned by Jesus. But look at what happened in that upper room. The response to fear became forgiveness. Jesus comes into that room, and can you imagine being Jesus? He's gone to that garden, remember, the night before he died, and his disciples went with him. He couldn't even get them to pray with him 1 hour. And when the soldiers came, they all ran off except Peter. Peter ends up denying him 3 times. Everybody but John abandoned him. And he comes into the room, and what I would expect Jesus to say is, "Guys, where were you? Thanks a lot. You're my best friends and you ran away." But instead he offers them a greeting of peace. "Peace be with you," he says. Look around that room, that upper room, and what do you see? Not only fear, but now forgiveness. This experience of living in fear and then finding forgiveness is what brings these men to faith, especially Thomas. It's a week later, it's a week after Easter Sunday. And Thomas hadn't been there on Easter Sunday. And so he's doubtful of what the guy said. And I don't know about you, but I find Thomas to be pretty bold. He says, "I want to stick my fingers in the nail marks and my hand into his side." I mean, he wants that kind of faith. He wants that kind of evidence. Is it wrong to ask that of God? To be able to touch him? To even be one flesh with him? I don't think so, because that's exactly what happens at this altar. You see, there were two types of faith in the room that morning, a week after Easter. Those who believed because they saw the evidence. Those who believed because they'd been there. And those who came late to the party. And brothers and sisters, we fall into those same two categories too. Many of you here today, most of you here today, are what we call cradle Catholics. You were born into Catholicism. You've always had it there. Kind of like those disciples who, on Easter morning, they got to see Jesus. He was there. And they didn't have any doubt because they'd been there from the beginning. And many of you as cradle Catholics, you live with little doubt about your faith because you just take it for granted. But unfortunately, many of us can still be like those disciples hiding in that upper room, scared to go out with that faith. Now, out of all those disciples, the ones who saw him on Easter morning and Thomas who saw him a week later, who do you think was most eager to go out and tell people? I bet you it was Thomas. See, Thomas falls into that second category. Oh, the person who, quote unquote, came late to the party. Many of you here today, you weren't so much late to the party, but are converts. Somebody who came later in life to Catholicism. And we have a saying that converts make the best Catholics. Why? Because they've engaged their faith. Something all of us must do, whether we're converts or cradle Catholics. And like Thomas, that conversion experience made him eager to go out. Fear can lead us to forgiveness, which can lead us to faith. If you look around that upper room, putting yourselves in the shoes of those disciples, if you even look around the church today, you will see fear, forgiveness, and faith in all the people sitting here. Fear because many of us have not yet accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." And maybe we're resistant. Maybe we've got sins that we're afraid to confess. Maybe we haven't forgiven ourselves or truly accepted the forgiveness that Jesus offers. But he does not want to rule you through fear. He wants to rule you through forgiveness. Forgiveness because some of us have accepted that love. The love which doesn't wait for an apology, but reaches out to you and says, "I love you without condition." Notice Jesus didn't ask the guys for an apology. He just said, "Peace be with you." He says the same thing to you. Faith, because after knowing this unconditional love, we want to love God back. And that is the core of faith. Not just facts, not just coming to church, but a relationship of unconditional love. Around 14 years old, my reoccurring nightmare ended, and it ended quite dramatically. The dream started as normal. The last time I had the dream started as normal. I ran out into the family room. Grandma drop kicked me out the back window or the back door. I went flying up into the tornado, but instead of waking up, I swirled around in the tornado a couple times, and then I got thrown down and toppled my grandmother. No issues with my grandmother there at all. And then the two of us got up. It was interesting. We got up in my dream. We held hands. And we went outside and helped people start cleaning up after the tornado. And then I woke up. Never had that dream since. Fear gave way to forgiveness, which gave way to a relationship of love. And it meant so much to me that as my grandmother grew older and she couldn't get out of the house and eventually passed away, I was able to sit with her there and talk to her for hours on end because somebody had to just be with her. And ironically, she shared her fears with me. Her fears of her relationship with God, her fear that somehow she hadn't done good enough for God. Her fear that she might not be worthy of heaven. And I was able to share with her faith and forgiveness, and that God does not rule through fear. Where are you living right now? Are you living in fear? Are you living in forgiveness? Are you living in faith?